Welcome into the Live Rewind podcast, where players and coaches join DP in the garage to talk about a memorable game from their career. They sit down to watch the highlights from Channel 1450 and talk about the game. In this episode, Lanphier's Andre Williams talks about the 2017 sectional semifinal against Champaign Central. This podcast is brought to you by Country Financial. They are a big supporter of Channel 1450 and the Live Rewind podcast. They do so much for the community, especially during this time. For college scholarships for local students, to donations to COVID-19 response funds, if you are looking for insurance, whether it's for your car, home, or life insurance, make sure you check out Country Financial.
This is Andre Williams doing a Live Rewind from, I think it's the sectional semifinal from 2017, my senior year. So I'm ready to see what these highlights got in store.
All right, let's talk about this game first. Leading up to it, you guys win a regional, which is no surprise.
Right.
You guys, that's what Lanphier does.
For sure.
So you got to travel all the way to Effingham. Does that affect anything in terms of this game?
I think if I remember, I think we actually got a charter bus. Uh-huh. So, as far as the ride up there, you know, it wasn't that uncomfortable or anything like that. But sometimes, you know, just with those long rides, those hour and a half rides, sometimes you can get like a little jet lag, whatever you want to call it. But I think we came out strong. You know what I'm saying? I don't think it really affected us too much. We thought it would, but it wasn't too much of a problem.
What was the team mood, the team vibe going into this postseason?
We knew from the beginning of the year that our goal was to get to state. I think we also kind of had just a different focus going into the postseason, especially coming off our junior year. You know, everybody still was doubting us at this time, even though we had the record that we had. So, I mean, we just took it as motivation. You know, people still looked at us as the underdog, so we just took it and ran with it, really.
You personally, how do you feel like you were playing at this point in the season?
I remember, honestly, going into the regional, I was on a little bit of a slump. I think I was averaging like 15 points. I had 4 or 5 games back to back where I had like under 10 points. Luckily, Yock and Cardell, Big Will, all those guys, Corey were picking me up. But I mean, I tried to just come in, just, you know, every game is different. Every game is a new game. So just trying to forget those games before. But yeah, this game, I definitely woke up.
Does coach have to say anything when you guys are playing Champaign before the game?
No.
I mean, at this point?
This, actually, I don't know if you guys remember, but they were talking a lot of trash in the papers. And Coach Blake, he brought the paper to practice and to show us everything. And so I played AAU with a couple of those guys on Champaign Central too. So I was already kind of motivated just from that. But when they tried to say we cheated and everything in our little preseason tournament, just adding fuel to the fire, man. You don't want to fuel up those lines. So, I mean,
all right, sounds good.
Yeah.
Space bar and it should play.
All right.
Lanphier and Champaign Central clashing in the 3A Effingham sectional semifinal on Tuesday night. These two squads have a history, man. The Lions beat the Maroons at the same point last year. And earlier this season, Lanphier edged Central in overtime to win the Adam Lopez Thanksgiving tournament. The Maroons said publicly last week that they wanted a rematch with the Lions. Lanphier heard them loud and clear. What a start for BON in this game, especially Yakima Rose. Look at the kid go off. He'd score 7 points.
Oh my gosh.
4 seconds.
Oh, I know this one.
That was only this.
Pull up three, platinum.
Monster night.
Cash out. Yak, man. Yak in the postseason, man. He was a complete different dude for us. I think his focus is really what kind of got us going, especially at the beginning of this game, to come out knowing that there's a lot of animosity going in the game, and just to see Yak come out, score 7 straight points. We knew from the beginning of the game that this game was going to be special. I mean, Yak really just got us started, but yeah, man, you know, some people, you know how Brian goes into that zero dark 30 mode, man. Yak, he went into a different mode postseason, man, and they caught a lot of it.
To start the game like that, you know, everybody's amped up. They're excited for the game. It's a postseason game. But when Yak comes out there and does that to start the game, it's kind of just set everybody down and say, we got this.
It's like a time bomb, man. You know, especially just with us, we know eventually we're going to get going. But, you know, I think a lot of teams' worst fear is to see us go up on that 7-0 run, because you already know coming in the game, Lanphier's going to get up in you. They're going to press you. They're going to try to speed up the game. And, I mean, I think if people had anything bad to say about us, it was that we can't shoot. So when we get on those runs,
watch out.
I mean, man, it's like I said, it's just a real good sign for everybody. Yeah. So yeah, that was definitely a great start.
Knocks down the three. Lanphier hops out to a 7-0 advantage.
Yeah, we were all hyped.
With just 6:23 left in the first. But this is how the Maroons got on the board. Tim Finke rises up for the flush. D1 schools all over that kid. And that, folks, was just a preview of the athleticism we'd see on Tuesday night. You wouldn't have to wait long. How about the development of Carl Wright this year? The putbacks.
Carl, man, I think Carl, I just remember he just caught everything off the rim that year. It no matter what it was, if it was a bad pass, bad layup, everything, it just seemed like Carl, he was just kind of always in the right place at the right time, man. And when he gets his dunks, you know, Carl's pretty happy. You know, if Carl doesn't like nothing, he likes his dunks. So, I mean, he got up though. I mean, I remember always having bounce, but ooh.
I mean, you might not get the assist, but sometimes a missed shot is good.
Man.
He's around the rim.
Exactly. I mean, Carl's going to be Carl, man. I didn't know he got up that high, though. He got up pretty high.
Lanphier sprints out to a 15-4 advantage, but the Maroons would close the first to make the deficit manageable, headed to the second. Akeon Gill with the deep tray. Lanphier still sporting a comfortable lead. It was 19-12 after one. But in the second, these two teams would just jockey. Gill, pretty dime to Doug Wallen. Maroons within one. Then with just over five to go, Finke with the burner. Cookies, he had 15 points on the night. Lanphier sees its lead trimmed down to one, and just moments later, Jake Beasley with one of the highlights of the year.
I remember that play. Man. I think another thing that they brought to the game, their crowd was talking crazy, man. That I remember, like, our bench is on this side, their crowd's kind of like over here on that other side, and just every time in that first half we came down on offense, they all like standing up and stuff. It was kind of cool though.
Yeah.
You know, I personally, you know, I love those type of environments, man, where you can, when the crowd is up close, you can interact with the crowd. It's kind of like the Lions then. But I mean, yeah, their crowd was talking crazy. It was just. And it was like all of them, and like even like the older folks, you know what I'm saying? So everybody was talking trash everywhere, man. It was definitely a great environment to play in.
To have that, I mean, you go over to Effingham and you think, okay, maybe people probably didn't travel that far for a sectional semifinal.
Right.
But, man, I mean, Lanphier showed out, Champaign showed out for that one because they knew.
It's crazy, man, because especially like I think Champaign, I think they had a pretty good year that year. I mean, it just kind of sucks. Like, I personally like want to see them like in a super sectional or something like that, where it's like the stakes are a lot higher, big atmosphere. Like, we'd be at the convention center. Yeah, we'd be in Springfield, but I think the convention center is kind of neutral, honestly.
Yeah.
But I mean, it just sucks that we had to see these guys in the sectional semifinal, because I mean, they were a really good team. You know, they had a really good coach, had a great core, great group of players, and man, like I said, I was cool with those guys, man. So it was tough, you know, after the game, you know, just seeing them all, knowing that was their last high school game. I wish we would have seen them later.
Do you guys as a team, like, say anything to each other when you hear those guys talking on the sideline, or is it just, like, everybody kind of knows?
I mean, we do that in practice all the time, honestly. I mean, we grew up in those type of environments, so, I mean, that, like, if anything, like, those help us out more. It makes it more like home for us. So, I mean, but, you know, guys like Cardell and Yogg, they see guys woofing, even like JMO. I mean, they thrive in those type of environments. So yeah, it was definitely fun to play in.
Giving Carl Wright a taste of his own medicine, that Central crowd on another level as the Maroons take a 1-point lead.
Crowd right there.
But back came Lanphier. 18 first half points for Yogg. Steps up. Hits the three. Lions take a 24-22 cushion. Then with under three to go in the half, one of Rhodes' five steals on the night. He was doing it all. Lions back up by four. She's like, Mama, there goes that man again. But just like the first, Central would close the second strong. Jonte Coleman, nice shot off the dribble. And the Maroons led 30-27 at recess after trailing big early. In the third, it's that Carl Wright effect again. Rebound, kick out to Andre Williams. Williams to the corner to Rose. Trey ball, cookies. Lions regain the 2-point lead. And in addition to Rose, his backcourt, Mayton Williams, dazzled as well in the second half. Yeah.
I remember, I think like going into that half, going into the second half, I think I had like 2 points. And it's crazy. Like when you guys said like I had 25, like I was trying to think of, dang, did I really score 23 points in the second half? And like, even like me and my dad, like we thought about it. Like we tried to look at the highlights and tried to count them out. But I remember like one thing that got me going, I had hit a similar shot in practice earlier that week. It was like left free throw corner. And like after I hit that shot in practice, it was like, okay, now I'm on now. And I got hot in practice. So when I hit that shot in the game, you guys didn't get the highlight. But when I hit that shot in the game, I kind of knew. I said, yeah, I hate to be in that maroon after that. I knew it was on it. You know, it turned into 23 points.
It's gotta feel good when, mm-hmm. like you said, maybe scoring-wise you struggled in the first half. You guys are only down 3.
Right.
But you know, like, I mean, if I can get going, Yach's already going. We'll be fine.
Yeah,
you know?
that's I think that's what's just so special about us. I mean, we really had 3 players that could give you 30 points on any given night. And I think like just having that leadership from me, Yach and Cardell, and all the other guys like Stanley, Carl, Will, Corey, Jamo, all those guys just being able to really, they could really heat it up themselves too, but they just didn't have to that particular year. We just really had a special team, man. And everybody was locked in to what we were trying to build, and it was just we reminisce on this year so much, like whenever we're hooping and stuff, just remembering, because it was just the energy all around was good all the time. Like even when we hit like slumps as far as like losing one game or two back to back, like the energy in practice and in our game energy, it never changed. It was always, you know, everybody locked in. Some teams just got lucky, honestly. Yeah.
Lanphier goes up by 4 after the lay-in. But then with under 4 to go, it's Central. Hanging tough. Off the miss. Coleman. Another 3-pointer. Central pulls within 1 at 40-39. Lanphier would end the quarter on an 11-4 run, though. Williams. Acrobatic lay-in.
I think my dad might have got more cameos than me with the 14-50 highlights. It seems like every game y'all always get them one time, you know, yelling at the ref or doing something. And then they had Big Yach's dad in there too. That was kind of funny. It's cool, man.
Your dad's a staple at those games, man.
Man.
He doesn't miss a Lanphier game no matter what.
Even like in college, like he's traveled. We've played in Quincy. We've played in Louisville. And like just somehow I'll just look in the crowd and out of nowhere I'll just see him pop up, and it's like, man, he's everywhere though, you know. It's cool though to see, like, when you got the ability to travel and, you know, see a kid playing college like that, it's also a big confidence booster. So I mean, he's tired of changing colors though. He's had to wear Lanphier Southeast because my sister goes there, yeah. And he's had to wear UIS, now he's got to wear Lincoln, so I'm pretty sure he's tired of wearing team gear.
Bust the foul. Lions go back up by 6. Northside loving it. Then with under a minute to go, Williams. 3.
Oh, hand down, man down. That's cash.
Points. Lions take a 10-point advantage. They led 51-43 headed to the fourth. And that aforementioned run carried into the final frame. Williams, 22 of his 25 points coming after the break. That puts Lanphier up by 11. And then watch this effort by Rose. A one-man wrecking crew. His stat line set it all. 34 points and 10 rebounds for Yach. It's 61-50 Northside.
Oh, my gosh. Like, just little stuff like that, man. Yach, man, he's a real 5'9 bully. Like growing up as kids, we all play on the same AAU team. We would call Yach 6'9 all the time. Just because he's always bullying somebody, or his play style was similar to somebody who's 6'9", just because of the type of heart he has. I mean, he's even got that at UMSL now, so it's going to be different seeing UMSL and UIS go at it this year. But hopefully I can attend the game. I want to see how's that going to go. But
You and Yach combined for almost 60 in this game.
Yeah.
I mean, as a backcourt, you're not going to beat somebody, a team doing that.
Right. I mean, some teams, I mean, like Lincoln, they try to keep you under 30. Mm-hmm. So when you're playing the game and you got, like I said, you got two guys that can give you anywhere from 15 to 30 points any night, I mean, you can't really game plan for that. You got to hope that you outscore them. And, like, especially in high school basketball, man, when you got 8 minutes a quarter, that's not bound to happen too much. But I think, like, with me and Yach having that many points, there was just so many other guys who had like 8 points and probably like 4 assists and like 6 points and like 7 rebounds. So that's the stuff like that, like that doesn't necessarily come up like in the videos and stuff. Like that stuff like really helped us win just as much as, you know, me and Yach scoring all those points. So, man.
Let's continue to build onto that lead. Williams, cars through the D, layup plus the foul. And Lanphier puts forward one of its best games of the year to pull away from Champaign Central, 82-59 the final. Lanphier will play in its third straight sectional title on Friday.
That's what happens when you talk trash, man.
Being down 3 at the half to blow them away like that.
Man, I mean, that's just Lanphier basketball, man. Yeah, 82 points. I mean, we try to shoot for 100 when we can. So, I mean, you know, it's just I'm pretty sure we didn't hear any much more trash talk after that, though. Just like from any team, period. And we had kind of proven teams wrong like that throughout the year. I remember Eisenhower was one. You know, they said we couldn't shoot, and we had like 15 threes that game at Eisenhower. So it's like, you know, we don't do too much trash talking. We might dance a little bit after the games, or we might be confident in ourselves. I call it confidence. But I mean, that's just BON, that's Lions pride. That's just how we carry ourselves, and we got the hard way to prove it. So I mean, yeah, you see what happens when you try to mimic us, you know.
So let's go from high school to college. Mm-hmm. You mentioned earlier you were at UIS. Now you're going to finish up your career at Lincoln. Kind of what went into that decision, and why was Lincoln the right choice for you to end your college career?
I think I just felt like I could contribute more. You know, being on the court, I felt like, you know, there were situations when I could have helped the team out that I wasn't given the opportunity because that wasn't necessarily, you know, coach's game plan. He went another way, you know. And so, I mean, at the end of the day, knowing that I only had 1 year of eligibility, I had to just really think about me. You know, I'm always a team guy. I'm always wanting to put myself before the team. And I think that kind of goes into the way I play as well, you know, doing stuff like taking charges, always being the first guy on the floor, stuff like that, even doing those little things. I just knew that if I had 1 year, you know, I had to go out with a bang. And I knew Lincoln, you know, as soon as I announced that I was going to be transferring, you know, they hit me up immediately.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, when teams do that, especially in this situation where we don't even know if we're going to play until next semester, I mean, I think that shows priority-wise where you stand at for that particular team. And that's really what went a lot into that decision, you know, just knowing that they were going to give me the opportunity to play my game, you know, be the leader that I've been my whole entire life. I couldn't turn it down, really. That's really all that went into it, though.
You know what type of player you are, like you mentioned. I mean, defensively, is you bring it every single play. What have you worked on in the last year to make sure that your last year is your best year?
I know one of the things that hurt me my junior year that kept me off the floor more than I wanted to was just my ability to make hit jumpers. And I think I had like one of my worst shooting years, so every time I've been able to get in gym, you know, one of the main things going in is making a whole bunch of shots, you know, whether it's three-pointers, dribble pull-ups, just seeing the ball go through the hoop and getting my confidence back up to what it used to be. But things like ball handling, you know, that can never be at a certain place. That could always get better. Decision-making, things of that nature, and just being able to create, you know. Like I said, really just getting back to the old me, getting back to the basketball I've played my whole life. Those pretty much have been big, big emphasis that I've worked on all summer.
What would you say is the biggest reason there needs to be high school and college basketball this winter?
I think you can kind of say it with the NBA too, just the way that basketball brings everybody together. And also being a basketball player, understanding that there are a lot of people, a lot of young people that look up to you. And so when you're on these type of platforms, understanding that, you know, you're carrying yourself not only as a basketball player but as a man, and just it's basketball and sports, it's one of those things that really inspires people to do better, just inspires people to always work hard, just to strive for your dreams. When you see guys like, you know, LeBron, Russell Westbrook, Steph Curry, and guys from Springfield like Andre Iguodala, you know, all those guys going out making those big bucks, getting finals MVPs, and also coming back to their communities and building in with the boys and girls clubs around and just doing all that stuff, I think, like, as a person, like, it just has some type of effect on you. And so, and people understand that when they see basketball. They know when they're watching basketball, they're not just watching guys who are playing the sport, but they're watching role models to the world. And you can see that a lot now with all, you see all these Black Lives Matter protests going on, and then you see the NBA players, you know, with the names on the back of their jerseys, making sure that the things that really matter in the world today, you know, they're still the top headline when it comes to that, and they're still fresh in people's minds. So, you know, especially in times like this, it's like with a lot going on, you really got to keep those things going, because there's been times when these have been brought up and then they've just been overpassed because, you know, we have the, you know, keep say their names with Breonna Taylor and all these cop-led murders, but look, like, really there's so many more people that it just gets swept under the rug and it doesn't get the national attention that it needs because it's not necessarily a big community, or it doesn't get a million retweets on Twitter. So, I mean, I think everybody's respect has grown a lot just for athletes in general, especially with the basketball world, just considered how Adam Silver has gave them the platform to really speak their minds. So, I mean, I'm watching basketball every day and seeing all those stuff going on, man. It's fresh in my mind every day as well. So I think that's the main thing, just the platform.
That was Andre Williams for Live Rewind. Thanks for listening.